Blog Talk Radio.
From Dog Works Training Centers, professional canine training centers in Denver, Colorado, and Anchorage, Alaska, this is Dog Works Radio, committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogworksradio.com. Dog Works Radio is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Now, here are your hosts, Robert and Michelle Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, hosting live from Willow, Alaska, the mushing capital of the world. It's about 65 degrees up there, getting a little bit closer towards that fall time and, of course, time to run the sled dogs here in just a couple of months. And on the line, we have calling in from Ohio. His name is Scott McConaughey. He is a canine trainer and the owner of Canine Ponderosa. Scott, how's it going?
Outstanding. How are you guys doing up there?
We are doing well. How's the weather in Ohio?
Well, it's crazy right now. It's 70 degrees and it's very cool. And we've had a really cool month and it's been fantastic. Very little bugs. Can't ask for more than that.
You can't. You know, the rest of the nation is just dying through that heat wave, some of the most record-breaking temperatures ever. And, you know, we talk a lot about that on the show, especially the heat and how we care for our dogs, whether it's in training or exercise or sports or whatever we're doing. And maybe we'll ask a tip or two from you later on. But before we do, Scott, introduce yourself. Tell us who you are and what you're all about.
Sure. Well, my name is Scott McConaughey, and my wife and I, Caroline, we own the Canine Ponderosa. It's a 20-acre ranch dedicated to dog training and behavior modification. We take on a lot of dogs that are just regular happy-go-lucky, but we also take on a lot of dogs that are aggressive and fearful. There's a whole lot that goes with that. We like to rehab dogs, and I'm a real proponent of running dogs with dogs to change them and help them turn back into a dog. I guess I grew up as an athlete, so I kind of look at dogs like athletes, and I treat them a little bit like athletes, and it really helps to balance them. They get a lot of the nervous energy that dogs can have, get them out there and run them. Dogs love movement more than anything. So,
how long have you been a trainer, Scott?
Well, my whole life I've been training, but I would say pretty heavy duty, about 9 years. And, lots of schooling, lots of certifications, but my greatest value is the experience that, I've trained probably about 2,000 dogs on and off leash, and each dog teaches me something. So, I've learned so much just from training dogs, from dogs.
You have an awesome place, at least the pictures I've seen on your website and on Facebook. Tell us a little bit about the Canine Ponderosa. How did that name come about? Where are you guys located in relation to big cities, that sort of thing?
Well, we are north of Columbus, Ohio, and it's a 20-acre ranch. It used to be a tree farm, and, I wanted to get into dog training really bad, and I looked at 100 properties before I found this property, and it was kind of a diamond in the rough, very beautiful, grass was super high. We came in and cleaned it up, and it's just so beautiful. But, I knew I could make it into something special because it looks special. We live in a home that looks like a barn. And then we also have a separate training center and agility course. But we always say this is where dogs come to heal. And a lot of times when we train people's dogs, they continue to come back for kenneling because their dogs are not stressed out when they come back. And they're never on leash. They're always, as soon as they get out of the car, they're off leash, running like the wind with the pack of dogs. And then there's nothing more that's better for a dog's soul than running with a pack of dogs, I feel.
And I know you had mentioned on your website that you offer several different types of training, not only that fear rehabilitation that you spoke about, but you're also working with a lot of aggressive dogs, and you do some agility courses and, of course, puppy classes and even trick training. That's kind of a niche that a lot of trainers don't get into. How did you get into that trick training?
Well, I was born in Germany and raised all over the world, and I feel like I never close a door. I like to leave all my doors open. And so there's not very many people that they can say that they're police canine certified and also certified as a trick dog instructor. And we're even having a really large trick training workshop on August 24th, 25th with the world famous Kiara Sundance. She's coming out here. And I'm just really excited about that. There's there's a what I call the on-leash training, and then there's the off-leash training, and then there's trick training, and the trick training just enhances all that. And it, you know, your dog basically has a 500-word vocabulary, so it seems like as soon as you teach a dog two or three tricks, next thing you know, they're learning really fast, and you can teach them a lot more tricks quicker.
And you said that workshop is going to be held on August 24th, and they can find out more about that on your website as well as Facebook, right?
Right, but that is booked up. We're really pleasantly surprised at how quickly it booked up. But you can audit the workshop, which means you can come and watch, and you will get a booklet, and you can go home and do the exercises and become a certified trick dog instructor as well. So everybody that's coming here is coming here to become a certified trick dog instructor. And we have roughly 39 dog trainers with their dogs that are coming, and that's just very unusual for so many people to sign up. And, you know, we just think the world of Kira Sundance. She's just outstanding with the dogs. And I believe she's even going to have an episode where they're going to be trying to get to teach the dogs to paint on a canvas with the paintbrush. So
that's pretty cool. If we can get some of that stuff on YouTube, I think that would be interesting to see for sure. So what is one trick that all dog owners are asking for? You know, they know the standards, play dead and that sort of thing. Is there anything really cool, obviously, that one of painting on canvas, but what are people asking for these days?
Well, we really more are to the way we work with dogs. Most of our dogs come in and are happy-go-lucky, maybe a little bit of fear, maybe a little bit of aggression. Sometimes it's a lot of aggression. But we're experts with creating the good family dog. You know, they bring in a rambunctious lab that's, you know, like acting like a linebacker in the house and knocking things over. And we, you know, teach this dog to be off-leash and run like the wind and be a dog and get all that energy out. And then when it comes back to the house, it's downtime. And we teach it at that point to get on a bed. So they would come in the house and get on a bed. Now, are they going to get off that bed? Yes, they're going to break every command we ever teach them. But that's okay, you know. And so that's where the training comes in. But it gives the dog an assignment, teaching them the place command to get on a bed in the house, and it keeps them out of trouble. But, you know, like the trick training is just extra fun, and it really does help you bond with your dog even more. A great trick I always like to do is to take a biscuit and be right next to a rug and show the biscuit to the dog, lift the rug, put the biscuit under the rug, put the rug down, and then once the dog paws at it to try to get the cookie out, you lift it. And then that's how you can teach them to wipe their paws. That's a real fun, cute thing to do with dogs.
Very cool. I'm sure a lot of people will be trying that after they hear the show today. Scott McConaughey is our guest today here on Dog Works Radio. He is the owner of Canine Ponderosa in Ohio. What is the city, Scott? Delaware, Ohio, Canine Ponderosa. Scott, I wanted to get in today to talk about different training philosophies. I know that you have gone through a breadth of courses, including attending Cesar Millan's, what is it called, Cesar's Way Canine Trainers course.
Yep.
And, of course, many other training courses over the years. And, you know, in this day and age, at least from my understanding as a trainer as well, people are asking for one particular training philosophy, and it's typically the one that's the flavor of the day. Do you find that true?
Well, you know, they always come in and ask me what my philosophy is, and I really don't have a philosophy. My philosophy is I let the dog tell me how to train the dog.
Right. Go ahead.
And then we just go from there. It's better, you know, of course you want to have a game plan, you know, but you almost always when you go in with your game plan to train a dog, it almost always changes and you have to adapt.
Right. I think that's great advice for dog owners. You got to be able to adapt. Every dog is not going to accept one way over all of them. They're, you know,
that's
dogs
right.
Work differently. Go ahead.
And another thing is they, you know, it's not my way or the highway with the dog. So I believe I'm more of a soft-handed dog trainer, and I believe in helping them. You know, and another thing that we do, we bring dogs in early, and right about 4 months old, we'll bring them in, and they have what we call puppy head. So you have to go really slow with them. You can't just, you know, put a choker chain on them and go to it, or a knee collar or anything like that, or even a pinch collar. We use lots of treats, and like I said, we're very soft-handed, and, you know, dogs come into the Canine Ponderosa afraid of the world, but when they leave, they act like they own the place. And that's exactly, you know, dogs come here to heal, so that's the way we want to look at it.
And obviously you accept dogs where they stay with you in a board and train type situation, a kenneling situation at your place, and I'm sure you do private lessons and group classes as well, right?
Right. The only group classes we do are the puppy preschool. So we focus mostly on residential. We do hourly, but the residential is really good, and we're busy with that. So I don't really do group classes. I always wanted to. I actually want to do more agility and more trick training, but we're just so busy with the residential. A lot of times, now that I've gotten older, I'm trying to slow down on the dog training and only take a few dogs instead of, you know, taking them more than necessary. Like sometimes I would take 5 dogs in, and I think that's a little too much. But when I was younger, I could do that. But now I'm going to bring in 3 dogs, maybe 4, and then go slow with them. And I'm taking almost twice as long to get them out these days as I get older. Maybe it's just me. I bond with them more. And when we send them home, they need to be not only trained but balanced and happy-go-lucky, and they have to bond with me. And then, of course, at that point, it's really tough to let them go home.
It is. And, you know, your way of thinking there sounds exactly like we do it here. We only do 3 or 4 dogs as well, and we keep them here at our place up in Willow, kind of out of the way compared to, you know, the big city trainers. We're about an hour north of the city. So I know exactly what you're talking about, and I think that way seems to work the best. And, of course, a lot of people, when they get their dogs back, they need to be trained themselves. You know, the dog is trained in terms of knowing the commands and knowing what he's supposed to do. And like you said, a very important concept of that is the dog being balanced. But there's also work that has to be done with the owner, right?
Right. And it's really never the dog. It's always the owner. So we'll bring in a fearful dog. Good example. We brought a fearful dog in, and we got the fearful dog away from the owner. And it only took about 3 days. Usually it takes a couple of weeks or maybe a month for the dog to kind of snap out of that fear. But this one snapped out of it pretty quickly. Like 3 days later, happy-go-lucky, wagging his tail. Well, the lady came back, and she was going to paint a mural for us in the kennel. And she walked in, and she saw her dog. And as soon as she saw her dog, she said, "Aw," and then her dog started shaking. And I was like, well, he just undid everything that we did. So I had to educate her. But in the end, you know, she did step up. It was a very tough road for her. And most times it's not that tough because most dogs that come in here are just happy-go-lucky. Most dogs that come in here that are deemed aggressive are not aggressive. I get a lot of dogs that have bitten other trainers that come here. This is almost like the last stop. You know, we love the all-positive trainers, but a lot of times when people go to the all-positive trainers, a high-caliber German Shepherd, you know, a treat is not going to get a dog out of the street. So what happens is they fail with the all-positive trainer, and then they end up here. I usually get about 1 or 2 a month that fail with other trainers, but, you know, this comes with experience, and also I have been blessed to learn from some of the greatest dog trainers in the world, and I think that all comes together. And just, you know, the whole philosophy is it's not my way or the highway, and also I always humble, because as soon as you think you get cocky around a dog, and they will humble you. So the best way is just to come in, always be humble. I've never been bitten badly or anything like that. I attribute that to being very lucky and a little bit of skill.
Right. And you know, you had said earlier, Scott, that the dogs are very adaptable. They want to learn almost 100% of the time. What happens when the client's not ready to learn? You know, they're in their own way or the highway.
I know what you mean.
How do you deal with that? How do you deal with that exactly when you have a difficult client?
Well, that's when the psychiatrist in you has to come out, or the life coach, you know. That's where, you know, an experienced trainer, or maybe somebody who is not a trainer that's not worldly, doesn't know how to handle that. You know, I grew up, I was a quarterback when I grew up. I was a pitcher. I played a lot of team sports. I was a coach. And so you have to find a way to help them no matter what. You know, I love every dog. I'll never forget, a man handed me his Chihuahua once, and he says, "I don't even like this dog." And then I said, "Well, why don't you let me have it?" And he wouldn't let me have it, you know. So, you know, I always find a way to love every dog and help every owner.
Great advice.
And sometimes it's even greater than you think. The owner at the very end steps up. Usually they step up. And a lot of times, you know, this goes back to the core of training is women, it seems like if you have a dog or dogs, it almost always falls on the woman in the house. Women are natural caretakers. It just seems like it naturally falls on them. And the knock on men is they like to yell. The knock on women is they feel sorry. So a woman can be just as good as a man, if not better, when it comes to dog training, once they know their weaknesses and their strengths.
Great advice as well. You know, and we found that definitely the case when we were doing a lot of, you know, a lot of classes at one time. We had a training center. Almost always it was the woman of the house. Typically, like you said, they were the caretakers. They were the ones that were taking care of the dogs, so therefore they were the ones that brought them to training. Scott, tell us about your experience with Cesar Millan. I know that everybody knows who he is by his TV show and books, his website and that sort of thing, but how was it to work with him and get that advice that they were able to give to you guys at his school?
Well, Cesar, you know, I feel he's very incredible with the dogs. Even just watching his show many years ago before I met him helped me understand, wow, I can get dogs around dogs to help dogs, you know. And it never even dawned on me. Here I was training dogs and sending them out. And I always avoided aggressive dogs or fearful dogs, you know, and tried to just get the regular happy-go-lucky dogs. But then, I was a quarterback when I grew up, and I played a lot of sports. And I said, you know what, I can't be avoiding this. This is maybe something I need to get good at and learn how to do it. So I learned from Ivan Balabanoff, you know, Robin McFarland, Martin Dealey, Kira Sundance, you know, and then Cesar Millan, and, you know, lots of other dog trainers in there also. But Caesar's isn't training. It's more like, the animal's behavior. He can spot it so quickly. He's so good at it. And he also reads people well, too. But just hanging out with him, keep my mouth shut and just listen, and I had learned so much from him. But there's, you know, when it comes to it, basically, to keep it simple, there's pack drive where a dog is kind of happy-go-lucky hanging out. There's prey drive where the dog sees the rabbit or sees another dog or another person that they want to go after. And then there's engage where they go after it. Well, you know, Caesar can look at him and just right away he can tell exactly what that dog's thinking. And, you know, I've seen him take two pit bulls, put them on the stage, and one was dog aggressive. And without, you know, any yank and crank on the leash or anything like that, just with a couple of touches and the sounds, he was able to get that dog out of that thought process. And it's just really neat to hang out with him because every time he opens his mouth, it seems like I'm learning something from him. But I really wished when I started all my dog training that I would have went and learned from him first, then did the dog training.
Right, exactly. You know, one thing that we found, again, when we had our training center was, typically, people will watch a show like Caesar's or Victoria Stillwell's or one of those shows on television, and they will try to mimic some of the concepts that they're seeing on TV. And then, of course, it often fails because, you know, they're doing it in 30 minutes or an hour, and all of a sudden the dog is fixed. And they expect that their dog, and often that's not the case. How do you explain that to your clients, that what you see on TV is not going to be the end result of the time?
Well, there lies the dilemma of helping the client with their dog, right? So you have to – it's so much more important to work with the client than the dog. You can do the dog. Anybody that's a trainer can train the dog, but then now you have to deal with the personality of the human, right? So.
Right.
Yeah, and I can't really remember how Caesar put it, but it's animal, dog, breed, name. And if you keep them in that succession, you know, you can have a happy and balanced dog. And some of the things that I learned from him, if you just watch him and just listen, and he, you know, every time he opens his mouth and he's talking about a dog, and I do so much stuff that he has taught me, and it's awesome, you know, like going right down to the tailbone of a dog and clawing, taking your hand and kind of clawing at the tailbone. He said that's what dogs like. They get a tension knot back there a lot of times, especially with aggressive dogs. So, you know, like we'll bring an aggressive dog in and we'll do lots of massages with the dog, you know, once we wear the dog out. But, yeah, it was an extraordinary experience, and I'm just hoping someday he comes to visit us at the Canine Ponderosa.
What do you think's next in terms of the progression of dog training? You have had throughout the years, you know, in the 80s it was Karen Pryor with her clickers, and then, you know, as you progress to Caesar's methods and the very popular Victoria Stillwell on TV today on Animal Planet and other trainers. What do you think is the next step as we begin to understand dogs a little bit more than we did even 20 or 30 years ago?
Well, I think the ultimate goal is to get a dog balanced, happy-go-lucky, with nothing on their neck, you know. So then, in other words, you're educating them. You're giving them a language. You know, the most valued command is the come command. And a lot of people have great dogs that will run away for their entire life. They have them on a leash, and they're always blocking them, trying to dart out the door. But I don't know where the future lies. I know that we're going to probably let the dogs tell us, but the ultimate goal is to get a dog what they call necked, so there's nothing on his neck. And you can, if you do it right, if you train him up real good and you stay on him and you balance him, we're running him with the pack, socialize him around people and puppies and elderly people, and when they're about a year and a half old, you will see them come into their own, and you will be able to have a conversation with them. You know, like, no, drop that, come here, get on your bed, you know, things like that. And it's just really unique. They fall right into position there in the pack. A dog will happily accept the role of submission if you take the reins as a good leader. And, you know, you don't have to be dominant to be a leader. You just have to be the caretaker and the protector of the dog and the leader.
Exactly right. You know, one of the things that I've noticed in terms of progression or maybe regression in terms of dog ownership is in the last 15 or 20 years, dogs have become a little bit more as an accessory. You typically see people carrying around their dogs in grocery stores or, you know, in handbags and that sort of thing. They've almost become an accessory to a point, and I think that's not necessarily a good thing. What do you think?
Well, you know, that's a good point, because the little dogs can get in trouble. You know, they end up being kind of aggressive and psychotic because people carry them all the time. So that's what we do. Like, we literally have a Yorkie here that we trained 5 years ago that the lady, she kennels with us. She travels abroad, and she leaves the dog with us because when she brings the dog back, this little Yorkie is going to run with a pack of dogs. Now, we're not going to run this little Yorkie like we would the big German Shepherd. We're going to wear all the big dogs out, and we may even remove a big rambunctious dog. And then we get the Yorkie out there, and we run the Yorkie, you know, and the Yorkie turns into a dog because they're running with a pack, and then they come back, and they're hungry, and they're thirsty, and they get rid of all their nervous energy, and they see their kennel as a den. So go back to, you know, the best way to balance a dog is to educate it, and then to run it, you know. So I like to run a dog, give it a little downtime, train it, give it a little downtime, and then love on it, because it's physically and mentally wore out, and it's open to love, and it doesn't have the nervous energy. So dogs are 98.9% the same DNA as a wolf. And when they wake up in the morning, they want to go on the hunt. And even if it's a cute little foo-foo dog, you got to get them out there and move them around. Dogs love movement, especially if you're taking them to a new place they've never been before. That's medicine for their soul.
I totally agree with that. I think that's excellent advice. Today we're talking to Scott McConaughey. He is the owner of Canine Ponderosa in Delaware, Ohio. You know, one of the things that that a lot of folks don't quite understand is they do need that exercise, and that exercise is different than, you know, just the 100-square-foot backyard that they have. That's not exercise for their dogs. They need that physical and mental stimulation in order to be that balanced dog, as you spoke about. And I think that's also one of the regressions in dog ownership. People think that they don't need the exercise that they need. And it's, you know, it's obvious in the way people exercise, but also how they're dealing with their dogs as well. They need to get out and run and exercise and play, not just, you know, let out on the back deck through the sliding door and say, okay, he's out, he's getting exercise. Do you agree or disagree?
Oh, no, I definitely agree with you. A dog needs an adventure. You have to appease the little tiny wolf that's in there, you know. And, you know, when you put them in their backyard, that backyard is like a large kennel. They know that backyard like the back of their hand. So I seen a lady that had a dog that whenever the lady came home, the dog would go crazy. Well, their dog wasn't getting a lot of walks. And I said, well, you know, you need to get the dog out and get some good movement going. Well, I walked the dog around the block. I said, well, that dog knows the block like the back of her hand. So, you know, you got to grab that dog and go on a trail. Go down by the lake. Get the dog off leash. Let a dog be a dog. Go jump in the weeds and get in trouble, you know. And that's what dogs do. And mean, dogs are so healthy for people too. It's just incredible. If one thing I noticed about Caesar is he says you are your dog. Now, you know, of course, you might inherit a dog that's a little psychotic, but more or less, you are literally teaching your dog, you know, about you. They're like a reflection of you. And I feel like my dogs are a reflection of me. I'm a little bit of an athlete. I'm getting old, but you know, they're very loving and they're loving to everybody. But if you have two or more dogs, usually there's going to be one of them that's going to cause trouble. And you know, just like humans, that you know, you get a bunch of humans together, somebody's not going to get along. But a happy balanced pack is something special. That's for sure.
I totally agree with that as well. You know, we just have a couple more minutes, Scott. Anything else you want to talk about or get out there to our listeners? You have a kind of a worldwide audience here. So, you know, I always mention to people when they listen to our show, things are a lot different in other parts of the world. You know, in the United States, we treat our dogs a little differently in terms of training and how they live with us compared to especially Eastern Europe and, you know, Australia, New Zealand, that part of the world. What advice can you give to folks that they may not have heard before? You know, everybody, you know, watches TV or reads a book or two, but they don't know the ins and outs of dog training as a trainer, Mike. Can you give some advice to folks that may not know something?
Well, they need to study, you know, what kind of dog is right for them before they get it. You know, even if you go to and get a shelter dog, you need to see if it's a hyper or happy-go-lucky dog or, you know, aggressive dog or a basket case dog. You need to realize in the square footage of your house. You need to realize, okay, am I a walker? Am I a runner? Am I a hiker? So you don't want to get a Rhodesian Ridgeback and then just kind of lay around all day long. You know, that's a dog that can run 22 miles and get up and run 44 miles the next day. So they need to do their research beforehand, and you know, and then don't take it so serious. You know, lighten up and find it, trust your gut when it comes to dog training. And also, if someone goes to a dog trainer, have that dog trainer walk the dog around and ask the dog to do a sit and just see the interaction. Now, sometimes that's not fair to the dog trainer because the dog can be aggressive or fearful. And then, you know, and it's fearful to everybody. So sometimes that fear, it can take a month to break, you know. So don't judge always just because the dog trainer's walking the dog around and the dog shows fear. But, you know, 99% of the time, whenever I take a dog and walk, get it away from the client, I can get really good responses from the dog. Also, another thing is that we made a 2D cartoon to teach really young children how to be safe around dogs. We won the 2011 Telly Award. And it's called The Lessons of Chief Pondy or ChiefPondy.com. And we even had a 2.5-year-old girl repeat 3 of the 10 lessons, which is unheard of. And I really would, you know, I didn't make this cartoon to get rich, that's for sure. I did make it because I saw a void there. You know, people were saying, Scott, you trained us, you trained our dog, but what about the children? And it's almost like adults are detached from educating children on a really young level, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. And I said, wow, how can we come down to a child's level? So we created a cartoon, and it's intertwined with lessons, and it just really works because, you know, once the children watch it, they repeat the lessons, and I'm getting great feedback from adults. It is a parent's best friend because mom, hey, you know, whenever mom's saying, hey, don't scream and yell around the dog, you know, that gets old. But whenever Chief Pondy says it in the cartoon, then they kind of listen. So it kind of sets in a little better. And a 2D cartoon is just a great way to entice a child into the dog canine behavior world and understand how to read a dog and what to do if you're approached by a dog, how to give a treat. And because sometimes the best children can be monsters behind closed doors with dogs because they don't know. There's no school or, you know, they don't teach that in any courses in elementary school or kindergarten or preschool.
I think that would be a great addition to the school curriculum, how to work with and handle your pet dog at home. I think that every child should learn that because, you know, like you said, getting yelled at by mom, it gets old real quick, not only for the mom, but also the kid and the dog as well.
Right. Well, you know, I love what I do. We have a 20-acre ranch here, and every day I wake up, I never, ever take it for granted. And every dog is special. There is no such thing as an ugly dog, as far as I'm concerned. And there's no such thing as a dumb dog.
Very cool. Scott McConaughey is our guest today. Canine Ponderosa, canineponderosa.com. It's the letter K9ponderosa.com. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Very cool. Scott, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for joining us on a Sunday afternoon there in Ohio. And we are just about heading into our day, just only 9:30 here in Alaska. So, Scott, we'll send over some links and things once we get them loaded up. It's been a pleasure, okay?
Outstanding. Thank you very much, Robert.
Thank you. Talk again soon. Scott McConaughey,
all right.
The owner of Canine Ponderosa. We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.